Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Get 2 months of free access to over 25,000 classes. Just go to skillshare.com/AC. Again, that's skillshare.com/AC. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. So on today's show, I want to talk about your environment. And I'm not talking about the environment, right? I'm not talking about, you know, the earth and caring for the earth and things like that. I'm talking about your environment, your personal creative environment, how you surround yourself with things that bring creative energy out of you and then inspire you to produce your best work. I want to talk about a couple of ways we can do this and why it's so important, why the environment that we work in is important. Now, it's not of ultimate importance. I mean, some of the best work can be done in some of the worst environments, of course. But given the preference of having an inspiring environment or an uninspiring environment, of course, we would always defer to the inspiring environment. So I'm going to talk about a couple of ways to think about mementos and why you should surround yourself with things that pull the best out of you. Before we jump in, a couple of things. First of all, I have a daily show. It's called The Daily Creative. Many people have been emailing me telling me that it's become part of their daily ritual to listen to The Daily Creative. It's a quick 1 to 3 minute, typically, podcast with a tip, an idea, a conversation you can have that day with someone to help you bring your best work. So check it out wherever you listen to podcasts, or just go to accidentalcreative.com and click on the podcast tab and you can listen to all the episodes right there, or subscribe to our email list at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. And I send every episode out every Friday, so you never miss an episode. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. I absolutely love Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for creators. With more than 25,000 classes in design, business, and more, you'll discover countless ways to fuel your curiosity, your creativity, and your career. You can take classes in social media marketing. You can take classes in mobile photography, creative writing, illustration, really anything that you want to learn, any kind of creative craft that you want to learn, you can find an expert on Skillshare who will teach it to you. And these are classes you can take at your own pace. So it's not like you have to be there every Wednesday at 12 o'clock to take a class, right? You can do this in the evenings. You can do this in the mornings. You can do it over lunch. It's a great way to develop, augment your skill set, skills that you can bring to your job, skills that you can just bring to your own personal life to help you find more satisfaction. So whether you're looking to discover a new passion, you want to start a side hustle, or you want to gain new professional skills, Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. Lifelong learning is so important for life satisfaction. And we see this over and over and over again in research that people who develop skills are people who enjoy life more. Because why? Because you're pushing yourself up the rugged mountain, right? You're pushing yourself beyond mediocrity. You're not settling in. You're not just lather, rinse, and repeating in your life. Instead, you're developing skills that will help you express yourself in new ways. And sometimes creative ideas only find their form when you develop the skills to be able to express them. You can have the best ideas in the world, but if you're not developing the platform, the skills that you need to be able to express them, they're not going to find their audience. So join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer for listeners of the Accidental Creative. You can get 2 months of Skillshare absolutely free. What do you have to lose? Try it out. You can get access to over 25,000 classes. So all you have to do is go to skillshare.com/AC. Again, that's skillshare.com/AC to start your 2 months now. That's skillshare.com/AC. We thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, let's talk about your environment, where you do your work. And I don't care if you have a private office. I mean, I happen to be sitting in my private office right now, which is great. I love that. Or if you work in a cubicle, or if you work in a co-working space, it doesn't matter. You can take things with you to that space to remind you of who you are and the work that you do and why the work that you do is important. So I'm just going to kind of walk you around my office right now. And I'm going to actually put some of these photos on Instagram, probably in my stories. So if you want to check those out, if you happen to listen to this in the next 24 hours, go to Instagram.com/Todd Henry and you can check out some of the photos of some of the things I'm talking about here. But I'm just going to kind of walk you around my office and talk about my environment and why I've chosen the things that are in my environment here. The first thing that we need to keep in mind about our environment, or the things that we keep in our environment, is that they remind you of your victories. And this is really important, especially in the midst of really difficult creative work. You know, Lisa Congdon, I quoted in my book, Louder Than Words, she talked about the U-shaped creative process, right? That we always start kind of at the top and everything is clear. We can see the end point because we're still at elevation. We can kind of see where we're going and we can kind of see the road in front of us. But then as we get into the process, we get into the dip, into the U, into the bottom, things get really difficult and we have a long road ahead of us, an uphill climb ahead of us, even when we get to the middle of the process. And the problem is at that point, it's too late to turn back, but we can't yet see the end. And so it can be very frustrating. And it's helpful in those moments when we're in the midst of the creative process to have something around us that reminds us of our victories, that reminds us of the times in the past we have conquered, we have overcome the obstacles. And so I don't care what that is for you. I have any number of things in my office that remind me of that, but I'm going to give you one specific example. So actually, and this is a new example, last week my dad stopped by, my father stopped by, and he dropped off a memento to me, something for my office to hang on my wall. And so I have to share a little backstory to explain to you why this is significant to me. When I was a sophomore in high school, I almost died. And I wrote about this in my book, Die Empty. I developed a freak infection in my back in the middle of a basketball game my sophomore year. They had to pull me from the game. I thought I just had tightness in my back or something. And I woke up that night and I couldn't move my legs. I was basically paralyzed and I had excruciating pain in my back. And so they took me to the hospital and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. I was in the hospital for about 3 or 4 days before they could figure out what was really going on. And during that time, all my friends were coming in, all my family were coming in. They were sort of being especially careful about the words they said to me. And I kind of got this sense that like, I'm kind of hovering on death's door here. So they had to send me to a specialist at another hospital. And finally, they discovered that there was basically a freak kind of infection, really, really dangerous infection in a muscle in my back that was basically pressing the main nerve that goes down to my legs against my sacroiliac joint. And so basically it was like crushing this nerve. So the nerve had kind of shut down basically. But this infection was so big and so massive. It was basically like the size of a melon. The muscle had swollen to the size of a melon in my abdomen. And so I was in the hospital for weeks. I lost 53 pounds. I went from like 185 and like lean and fit, you know, I mean, as a basketball player, to 131, I think, at my lowest point. The doctor actually came out and told my parents at one point, you know, during this process, right after they had diagnosed me, he said, "If I can save your son." And my parents said, "Hold on, if you can save my son, like, what do you mean?" You know, he's basically saying, "I'm gonna have to pump him full of so many antibiotics that it's just going to be really dangerous for him." And so anyway, obviously I'm here talking to you today, so you know that I survived all of this, but, I was told at that point that, I was going to struggle to walk. That it was going to be really difficult because I had lost so much muscle and basically my body was kind of so damaged from this infection. And that, you know, it's unlikely I probably would play basketball again, just given how much wear and tear my body had been through. Well, long and short of it is, I did recover. I ended up playing basketball my junior year, put all my weight back on thanks to some family and friends who came around and helped me do that. Play basketball my junior year, play basketball my senior year. Actually had a really great senior year of playing basketball, but last week, my father stopped by and they had just built a new gym, a new high school gym where I grew up. And my father stopped by and he had a gift for me. And apparently when they were building the new gym, they were tearing out the old floor and he had them cut out a piece of the floor, a small piece of the floor right at the top of the key. And that was a spot where I hit a lot of threes my senior year. And he said he just wanted to give me that gift as a reminder of that journey that I had been on. It's not about the glory days. It's not about reliving basketball in high school. It's not about that. That memento is a reminder to me that even in the darkest hour that I experience now in my life creatively, you know, something difficult, difficult career transitions, difficult things going on, if I can overcome that obstacle, if I can come back from losing 53 pounds or 54 pounds and being told I would never play basketball again, and then come back from that and recover and have a phenomenal, you know, senior year of basketball, that I can get through anything. Like, there's nothing. Like, they told my parents that, like, I might die, right? If I can overcome that, there is very little on this planet I'm not going to be able to persevere through. And so that memento to me is a reminder. Every time I look at it, it's a reminder to me that I am able to overcome, that I am able to conquer, I am able to do what is necessary to persevere to get through. And so that's what that means to me. And so it's in my office as a reminder of those times. So what do you have in your environment? It could be something small. It could be a note somebody wrote to you. It can be a photo of an important moment in your life of victory. What do you have in your environment that will root you and remind you of victory to help you persevere even in those dark times? Because we're all going to have dark times as creative pros, right? We all are. We're all going to have times where we feel like giving up. We need something to remind us that this is not who you are. Victory is not your, or victory is your path, and defeat is not your name, right? Sorrow is not your name. That you have the ability to persevere through this. So what is that for you? What will remind you of victory? The second kind of object I'm going to encourage you to have in your environment in some way is something that roots you in your identity, reminds you of who you are and the work that you do and why it's important. So I'm going to give you one example of this. Again, I have a couple of things here, but several years ago, Stephen Pressfield released a book called Do the Work. And he sent to a handful of people, he sent a lunch pail, actually, full of copies of Do the Work. And it was really cool because, you know, if you know Stephen or you know his work, you probably know that his whole ethic is like, listen, sit your butt in the chair and do the work every single day. It's what you do, right? And the lunch pail was kind of intended to be representative of the fact that every day as an artist, you get up, you grab your lunch pail, you put on your work boots, you go to the job site, and you do the job. That's what you do. That's really your primary directive as a creative professional. And so I've kept that lunch pail and it sits on a shelf. It's the first thing I see when I walk into my office. It sits on a shelf and it just reminds me that my job every single day is to do the work. When I walk into my office, my job is to sit my butt down and to do the work. That's my prime directive as a creative professional. It roots me in my identity and roots me in my calling. It roots me to what's being called out of me and what's necessary to get to where I need to be able to serve the people that I'm serving. So that's a memento in my environment that roots me in that. So what is a memento that you can keep with you that or carry with you? Again, all of these things can fit in your briefcase. I don't care if you work in a co-working space. All of these things can fit in your briefcase. They can be small. They can be nothing, right? But what do you carry with you to remind you of your calling, of what's being called out of you, and remind you to do the work that you're capable of doing every day? So I encourage you to think about that. You know, what are you going to carry with you? What are you going to surround yourself with that roots you in your identity and reminds you where you came from and where you're going? All right. The final kind of object I'm going to encourage you to put in your environment is something that connects you to your aspirations, where you want to go, the way you want to see the world. So if you have heard me speak, you know that I often like to tell the story of Jimi Hendrix opening for the Monkees and just what that was like for him being booed off stage several nights in a row by people who just, you know, didn't get his music. And yet he was in the process of building one of the most celebrated bodies of work of all time. And just the reminder that often those things that are so profound and so intuitive to you are not going to be received by other people because they're not ready for them or because they don't have a grid for what you're doing. Maybe you see the world in different ways. And I spoke at an event for my friend John Jantz for one of his duct tape marketing events, and I told that story. And then a couple of weeks later, in the mail, I got a box. I opened the box and pulled it out. It was a frame, and I turned it around, and it was a Monkees concert poster with special guest Jimi Hendrix Experience. It was basically a replica of the concert poster from the very first concert of that tour. And it was, I mean, such a thoughtful gift, first of all. But I put it on the wall of my office, and it's a permanent fixture now because it reminds me of my own personal aspiration. I aspire to be the kind of person who makes what I make, who makes what's being called out of me, who puts it into the world, even in the face of resistance, even in the face of the booing, even in the face of people who maybe don't always understand, don't get it. But it, you know, when I look over and I see that, when I'm writing or I'm creating a podcast or I'm getting ready to walk out the door with my briefcase to go to a speaking event, it reminds me that my job isn't to please people all the time. My job is to speak truth to people. My job is to try to do my best to excavate what's really going on and to put those pieces together and to try to challenge people to aspire to more. And so that's what that piece of art in my environment reminds me of. It's there to challenge me to root myself in my aspirations, to remember my aspirations, and not turn my back on them. So those are the three areas, the three kinds of mementos I encourage you to think about. The first is things, something that reminds you of your victory or your past victories, just to kind of get you through that U-shaped creative process. The second thing is something that roots you in your identity or roots you in your calling. And the third is something that connects you to your aspirations, you know, the kind of art that you want to make, the kind of business that you want to build, the kind of person that you want to become in your life or that you are becoming. You know, I encourage you to think about carrying something or putting something in those three categories in your environment. And again, I don't care where you work or how big your space is or how small your space is. It can be something tiny, you know, it could be just a little knickknack. It could be a little something. You know, I have a little fortune cookie that my wife gave to me for Christmas one year that before Die Empty came out that said that your book is going to inspire lots of people. And it's just a little fortune cookie that I still keep. I still have it here because it just reminds me of the people that believe in me and the people that are rooting for me. So it could be something really, really small. Doesn't have to be like art on the wall, but I encourage you to think about those three categories and having them in your environment. And when things get tough, when things get difficult, when you're walking through the mire and the muck of the creative process, you can look at them and you can remind yourself who you are and where you're going, and that things always seem dark in the midst of the process. But when you look back, that the journey is so often worth it. Okay. Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or join the conversation at collective.accidentalcreative.com. That's where we talk about all of the stuff that we talk about here on the podcast. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.